Listening to the Big Breakfast catch-up can make you easily distracted. But there's one thing you need to remember. Mother's Day is on its way. Spoil them at Chemist Warehouse with fragrances like Giorgio Armani C 50ml for $109.99 or Issey Miyake for women, 100ml, only $69.99.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Hello, welcome to the podcast. Nick Cody's just popped out for a sec. We're taking this time to do the intro.
He's probably hosting 20 to 1, is he, on Channel 9?
Not
until tonight.
No, fair enough.
Until tonight. 20 to 1, yes, on Channel 9 this
evening. Are you trying to pretend to everyone that 20 to 1 is live?
No, you are trying to pretend to everyone that 20 to 1 is live. It is all pre-recorded. So pre-recorded that he had to ask me, what's on this evening? And I said, it's reality TV moments on 20 to 1, as the promo suggests.
So that's good.
Well,
yeah, we opened a can of worms today. That was fun. Thanks to 60 Minutes, actually, because we discovered some awful statistics about parents abusing teachers. One in two. 49%, I think it was. This is crazy.
Look after them yourself. Try that one, eh?
Yeah, who'd homeschool? Like, seriously, my kids would stop at, what, third class? Have you seen my spelling?
That'd be good, though, wouldn't it?
What, stopping at third class?
If the government, how much they spend on education if they just said, righto, just do it at home, and they gave you money. Would you take it?
No.
How much would it take for you to homeschool?
No, I know my limitations.
Grand. I'm giving you 20 grand per kid per year.
Ooh. No. I need my children to have some sort of...
It's 90 grand a year I'm 30. Offering you now. 90, 30,000.
No. 40. Stop him when it's a number you like.
Okay, 50. it's like when Anne-Marie, do you remember Agro, Cartoon Connection?
Hang on.
Agro offered Anne-Marie $60,000 cash that she could put in her own account to shave her hair, and she refused.
Wow.
Now, Agro used to sit underneath the desk. Yeah. What hair are we talking about?
Hello. Hair on her head, love. Hair on her head.
Was he a bit pervy?
No, stop it.
I just hear things.
Stop it.
You're hobbling around today. Yeah. What's happened to you? You're on crutches.
Nothing. It was all just a big hoax.
That's not what I hear. Not what's in the podcast.
I'm an idiot. All right. I'm a fool. It was all my fault. I'm that cyclist who you all hate. When you go to the red lights, I go to the footpath and I fell over.
I wish someone who'd seen it had rung us.
Robin, I was doing 45 Ks now. You go from 45 to zero. It was like a cartoon being shot out of a cannon. And this old bloke went over. Did one, full one, landed on my shoulder stunt style and got up and went, that didn't even hurt.
It did hurt a lot. Yeah,
well, it did hurt yesterday and it hurts again today.
And you've got stitches.
Near the Kelvin Grove KFC, was it?
Yeah, if anyone actually saw it, I'd love to see.
Just on that note, am I good to go disabled parking?
Oh, have you got a little sticker?
No, have you got a sticker? You can't just pretend.
I've got a pen and a piece of paper.
That is a crudely drawn disabled man. I'm not going to let that man park.
It's got the right date on it.
Yeah, no. That's not
And a real interesting chat on handshakes today as well.
Yeah, I just was curious after seeing that Billy Slater great Gus Gould moment where Gus walked off and Billy was left shaking the air. What the mentality of handshakes were for men, and boy, did you fill me in.
It's a real deep dive, isn't it?
It really was.
Yeah, we all know. Look in the eyes. Firm handshake. That's what we teach our young men, and hopefully, well, some people in Brisbane haven't been taught the same thing. A lot of the big Polynesian boys are some of the strongest people. They have terrible handshakes.
Is that right? Well, maybe for them, in their culture, that's insulting.
They greet each other differently.
Yeah, they want to hug. Hug it out, peeps.
Yes, indeed. Hey, enjoy the catch-up.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Did you guys see 60 Minutes last night?
No.
Oh, my Lord. What?
It's still going.
After Lego whatever.
Lego
you missed
Masters.
It?
I ran away from our TV set as soon as I could when I saw Lego Masters.
Well, you should have stayed around for 60 Minutes because there was an amazing, it was the lead story and it was basically under the guise that our teachers are being bullied by parents.
Well,
let me play you some of the audio because it does set the scene. These are the incredible statistics about what's happening within our schools at the moment.
In the last year, 45%, that's almost one in every two school principals, were threatened with violence by parents. Evidence also points to an increasing number of teachers being bullied physically, emotionally, and electronically by parents who think they know best when it comes to their children's education.
Isn't that a gobsmacking statistic?
Wow. Maybe the old days, our parents would just stay out of it. Well, I think I stayed out of everything. Let the teachers do their job.
My mum would never go up to the school. Yeah. I mean, I got the cane once. Well, I kind of got threatened with it. But, you know, I wasn't quite that bad. But
just write that down for another day. She almost got the cane.
I almost got the cane.
My dad once told me.
He once told my maths teacher that he could slam, my maths teacher is allowed to slam me and my mate's heads together if we're causing a ruckus.
Okay, so clearly that was
God,
then.
God, that's good. That is so good. The coconut.
And did he? Did the maths teacher do it?
No, but he used it as a threat and then my mates got annoyed that my dad snitched on us.
Oh, fair enough.
They're the old days, but now parents think.
Well, have a listen to this parent that was featured on 60 Minutes about his kid who's now left the school.
I told them if they couldn't do their job properly, maybe they should give it to somebody else who can do their job properly, and they didn't like that. Violence, that's where nobody wants to come to that. But some people get that annoyed, that's what's going to be the next step, isn't it? If nobody's going to listen to you, what's going to happen? You're going to start getting grumpy. And what happens when you get grumpy?
I don't know, mate.
Violent man. But you heard it in his voice. He's the bloke on the side of football fields, goes nutso as well.
But how scary is that?
Mm.
Okay, but just when you think that that may be a little out of control, there was a principal that sent some stuff to parents that really got a lot of people agitated. Here it is.
I am having to interact with too many parents who have verbally abused, physically threatened, or shouted at a staff member.
In a school newsletter, Collier threatened to deny parents access to the school grounds if they didn't back off from what he called extravagant expectations.
If necessary, I will assert my authority under the enclosed Lands Act to ban them from entering the premises.
The principal's words didn't miss their target.
God. Is this in New South Wales?
Well, no. There was that grumpy dad was Western Australian. Oh. Like, they did it nationally.
Oh, no.
Okay, so my question is this. In this new 21st century, not when we were back at school, but right now, think about our own children. Who do you think should have the final say? Should it be the school or should it be the parent?
What do you mean the final say?
Well, on what's going on, how the school is treating your child.
But soon, unless you want to homeschool your kids, if you want to homeschool your kids, that's the only time the parents get the final say. Other than that, you've abrogated your responsibility and you've given it over to the school. So therefore, you've got to let them do that. They're experts at what they do.
But what if your kid is having a really bad time with the teachers and that system?
Well, you don't get violent and you don't threaten anyone, surely.
Well, I don't know. Clearly it's happening. What did they say?
Oh,
one
bet
and
it
two.
Is. Everyone thinks everything's run for them. No, there's so many kids in every class.
Okay, do you want to open one of these?
The Big Breakfast's can of worms.
Okay. Honestly, who has the final say with our kids at school? Should it be the school or should it be the parents?
The school, 100%.
I remember once my dad, I said I didn't like a maths teacher that I had in year 10. And my dad said, well, man, it's how life works. He goes, is she abusive? Yep. I'm like, no. He goes, well, it just is what it is.
Yeah, you know, my dad said, you'll get another one. You'll get a different teacher next year and next it'll all year. Be fine.
Okay, so we've opened the can of worms at 133353. Who has the final say on our kids at school? Is it the parents or is it the school? Gabby of Hamilton, what do you reckon?
Hi, guys. How you going?
Good. What do you think?
I work in childcare. It is just as bad in childcare. Like, the parents can be brutal and savage and they just don't care and they just don't realise that you're looking after their children. Yeah. Like, my son goes to the same childcare centre that I work at and I don't have a single thing to do with any of his care. Like, I'm in literally 10 metres away from him at all times and I just leave the teachers to do what they do. They have trained, they have gone to uni, they know exactly what they're doing. Don't disregard their knowledge of what is happening with the children. Like,
so what do they get up about? Like, what are they upset about in childcare?
Just their care. Like, not essentially like that they're being abused or anything, but just, you know, they don't have enough paintings up on the wall. Like, they don't.
Oh, my God, Gabby.
So we send updates of the children's day every afternoon, and if the update doesn't have their child's name in it or they are not fed, you know, the amount that they want them to be fed, it is completely ridiculous. And especially with children of, you know, from babies to, you know, 5 years old, they are independent and they know what they want. And if they don't want to eat, we're not meant to force them to eat. So if they don't want to have lunch, we don't give them lunch, but we offer it afterwards. But the parents, they don't understand that the children have their own minds.
Wow.
God, Gabby.
The parents
have such control over it. It's absolutely ludicrous. It's insane the control that the parents have over them. It's ridiculous.
Oh. Thanks, Gabby.
But is it different at childcare because you're actually paying money, whereas state school, you know, primary school, you don't pay any money, so you shouldn't get a save. Maybe that's why they
tax.
Do they think you get?
Steve of Fernie Hills. Now you are taking the other position. What do you reckon?
I am. I think at the end of the day, the parents have the final say. If you're not happy with what the school's doing, you move your kids to another school.
Okay, so you don't think to go up and have a say with the teachers and principal?
I have, and I don't ever believe in abuse or going the knuckle or getting in fights or anything like that. I don't think that's appropriate. I have had a big blue with the principal, and I took the appropriate channels up through the processes through the school education system, and at the end of the day, I pulled my three kids out of that school and went to another one.
Did that work?
Or left at the same time. Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
Going ahead and leaps and bounds. But the school we were at really broke my daughter. New school, she went to high school and they've had to do a lot of work to get her back into the education system.
Steve, you don't reckon, you know, the bloke or whoever's running that original school where you had your problems, they would have written a report to the new school and maybe bagged you guys, do you reckon?
Oh, maybe, but I'd written a big enough report up to the minister's department that might have put that to bed.
Right.
So, yeah, you follow the right process. I don't believe in abusing teachers. And we had some really good teachers at our school. I'm not dissing the school. There were some really good teachers and there were some really good students there. But I had to deal with one teacher who was bullying my child.
Yeah, okay.
And as I found out afterwards, he was having a go at quite a few of the other kids there too.
Yeah, okay.
That was about that person.
And then where you go. Let's finish on Sarah of Anogra. What do you reckon about this, Sarah? Who has the final say with our kids at school, the parents or the school?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Yeah, good. You're not a teacher, are you?
I am a teacher. I'm on my way to work right now. I've stopped in to buy some extra supplies for my day.
There you go.
Hold on. Extra supplies for the students, you mean?
For the students,
out of your own pocket. Yeah, go on.
Yeah. I completely agree with both of the callers. Like, I'm a teacher who, you know, I've put in so many years of my life studying to know exactly what to do to help these kids. I've, you know, been working in the field for as long as I have. I'm not saying I'm the expert. I'm not saying I always know the best, but I always have their best interests at heart. And I know that that's true for every single teacher at my school and almost as every single teacher I've ever come across. None of us ever go into the day thinking, oh, I can't wait to target this kid. But at the same time, some of the kids they're just not going to work well inside the school. So I agree with the last caller in the way that
he went elsewhere.
You know, removed his child from that school.
Ever been abused, Sarah?
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
What for?
Face to face. Oh, parents just, and it's different school by school because the communities and the socioeconomics is very different. But
that's so nice of putting it that way. Yeah.
A lot of them think that they know better. They might, you know, have a higher paying job or they might just be taller and they use that against you. You know, I've been stood over. I've never actually been physically hurt, but I've been scared that I've had to call the principal. Sorry, I'm getting a bit emotional.
Yeah, you should.
Very serious topic for me. Oh. You know, to the point where teaching has one of the highest burnout rates of any of the careers. Like, so many people I know have already left. And I'm only 4 years into my teaching career. You know, I've got years and years to go, but I know so many of the people I graduated with have already dropped out.
That's terrible.
It's just an incredibly hard job. We do it because we love it. We do it because we love the kids. I go home and cry some days, but I'm still excited to come back the next day and have that experience with my kids.
Oh, Sarah. Oh,
well done, Sarah. Thank you so much.
Interestingly, 85% of the callers saying teachers should have the final say.
There you go.
They're professionals. You nufty parents are only amateurs.
Yep. Sarah's anything to go by? Absolutely.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Weekday mornings from 5:30.
Was in Sydney for the weekend and over Anzac Day. Sean wanted to go and see the march and do all that sort of stuff and we saw his kids as well. So flying back yesterday, and I think, I'm not sure what the organisation was, but there was a large group of people and based on their haircuts, I think they were some sort of military operation. They were in civvy clothes, but they just all look quite similar.
Hey.
And all their bags were the same. Anyway, one of the fellas on the flight was clearly under the weather.
How old are we?
Anywhere from 18 to 40.
Oh, all right.
So and guys and girls.
Yeah.
But this one particular fella had to change seats so that he was in an aisle seat. And it became fairly clear fairly quickly that the big bag that you have, that if you're going to be sick.
Oh, don't.
I've never seen anyone use one. I fly 100 times a year. I've never seen someone use a spare
bag. Can I just, I've been on one. If one goes, there's a lot of people.
That go with it.
Go. They've got to pull their big bag out.
Well, this fella. As we were taking off, and thank goodness we got up fairly quickly, he had used that bag. And then he had run to the back of the plane and pretty much spent the whole time running backwards and forwards to the toilet, so much so that the hosties kept the toilet free just for him.
Oh.
Now, I'm going to be gracious and say the fella had food poisoning.
Yeah, that's nice.
Maybe. Mm. Anyway, but I just...
A big military group after Anzac Day, probably food poisoning.
Well, yeah. Probably food poisoning.
It's late Saturday night.
The thing I'm saying is there anything worse that can happen on a plane? Like, seriously, to be crook...
Hijacking would be up there, okay. I'd reckon.
Okay, would everyone agree? That's a fair call. Yeah.
Like having a spew, hijacking.
Okay, apart from hijacking. Yeah. But, you know,
there was an incident that has a tagline, never forget, and you've clearly forgotten it.
Yeah,
that's much...
I'm just saying, in a confined space.
The bloke who I saw pull the bag out, and I reckon he was hungover, he finished the flight in his underpants, no shirt, because everything...
Oh, what?
I don't want to talk about this, but his whole thing, so the hosties must have thrown him in some bin they have up the back. They just gave up on recovery mission. He finished the flight in his undies and shoes and nothing else.
That's impressive.
How did your bloke go?
He spent most of the time in the toilet, because that's the other thing.
Terrible.
Hearing someone dry reaching is not great when your in-flight food's coming.
God.
There was a pilot flying for Cathay Pacific who they had to ask for medical help. He couldn't fly the plane. He had shortness of breath and he couldn't see.
Oh,
this was just last week. Which has to be the scariest.
That's worse than like having a spew too. Pilot's incapacitated.
Pilot can't see. Oh, that's no good.
Okay, go, all right.
But they have another pilot, don't they? They don't just
go. They've got a co-pilot.
Is there anyone who wants to have a go at landing this thing?
Okay, worst thing you've seen on a flight. And look, if the terrorist thing, I get it.
My baby the other week, it was maybe his second flight, and he hadn't, babies sometimes just don't poo for a while. He hadn't pooed for 10 days. And then as soon as the plane took off, he just started.
Did you hear it?
We didn't know what he was waiting for. It turned out altitude. That's what he was waiting for. He just wanted to be as close to the sun as possible.
He's a low gravity pooer.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
I'm sure a lot of people saw this over the weekend, particularly if you're watching Channel 9, with their commentary of the rugby league. But basically, it was the end of a game. The panel was Aaron Moland, Billy Slater, and Gus Gould was a guest.
He was a walk-in guest.
Yeah, and he was right at the end of the panel. And basically, as they'd finished off, the camera was still on them, which is a definite no-no when you're actually finishing off a...
Gus Gould's worked on TV forever.
I know. He starts to take off his, microphone and stuff and completely disses Billy Slater, who's trying to shake his hand. This is kind of how it went down.
Thanks, Gus.
Here we go. You watching?
Go. Yeah.
Look at the moment where you're
hot. That's out there. That is out there.
To his credit, in that moment, what I will say is that Billy then continued to shake the air.
With his right hand.
With his right hand, and then turned back and just kept chatting.
No, but then he got his left hand and shook his right hand and he completed the circle.
So to me, in that moment, I saw a very confident bloke who didn't, took the disc, continued on. A lot of people I would have thought would have gone, oh, my God, that's so embarrassing. How I've just humiliated myself. But Billy Slater is not one of those guys. So my question to you blokes is, I am definitely a handshaker and I judge people by their handshakes. It's a bit weirder for women because sometimes people want to kiss you sometimes and you have to lead that charge.
Is that why you started the handshake, to keep people away?
Sometimes, yeah.
That's a good idea for all girls. I hadn't thought of that.
You're always open with a handshake, I reckon. If I've never met someone, I'll always... handshake.
It's very interesting how many blokes don't, though, who go in for the kiss.
Can we be quite clear that every man, you should never handshake from a seat? I saw someone do it the other day. You should always stand to handshake.
See,
if somebody, if you're
from the seat, it's like kiss the ring. You know what I mean? Like
I am royalty. The queen. I am the Pope. Please kiss it.
And this is my question to you blokes, because I am guessing there is a lot of stuff that goes into how you shake a hand and what your theory is when you're meeting someone. You know, there have been people who've literally almost broken my hand with their handshake, and I immediately look at that bloke and go, you're an idiot.
Like, or no, or maybe they're a fencer.
What?
Maybe they build fences and their hands are...
But you must know that you are squeezing the absolute bejesus out of someone's hand.
Yeah. Oh, I don't think... Yeah, some people don't realise.
Okay, so
Eye contact, good grip.
Yep.
Tell me about a wet handshake.
What do you mean by wet? Just hold your hand there and let somebody else manoeuvre it?
Just a little kind of dribble.
No, just that.
Dribbler.
Yeah.
What is going on there?
Stroke hand, I call it. You know, where you think you're someone that's like, mate, can you smell burning toast? Well, then there's no reason your hand should be that limp.
So
Come on, champ.
A guy do that?
I don't think he had a father when he grew up.
They haven't been raised right. Mm. Nobody's told him to. I'll grab someone's hand and go, mate, like this.
You really would you alpha redo a handshake?
Do you try to correct them if they've got a problem handshake?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I shake my hand.
Isn't that quite offensive? Aren't you just saying that you...
Well, somebody's got to tell them. You know what I mean? It's like if someone walks out of the toilet and there's toilet paper on their shoe, you can laugh at them or you can say, hey, there's toilet paper on your shoe, fix it.
So how does a bloke take being told that his handshake is offensive?
I've never done it.
Well, they've got a bad handshake, so they don't have it. You know what I mean? They're not doing great anyway.
I've gone for years as a noted media figure in Brisbane. Used to read the news on one of our big stations. Ooh. I don't care, Robert, anymore, Robert.
No, don't say it.
I back you up on it, but don't say it.
Don't do it.
And I agree, but...
Someone needs to tell him.
Okay, we do that privately. Don't humiliate him.
All right, I've got another one, and I'll name this bloke Mark Bosnich, okay?
That's okay.
Is that all right? What he is a disorganised shaker. It's always missing. So I've shaken his hands three times over the last 4 weekends because we seem to work together on a Saturday afternoon at the same time. Three times, every time he misses the target. I don't know what happens when he goes to the loo.
Is he being too quick?
But he keeps missing.
We're doing this now.
All right, I'm doing it now.
Hold on.
But no, he misses, he shakes your fingers and it's just all, what do you do about that one?
Matt, are you saying the bloke that admitted he had a $5,000 a week cocaine habit is a bit twitchy when it comes to a handshake?
Stop it.
Big breakfast on Triple M.
One of the weirdest things I've read in some time in the paper over the weekend, we're talking about Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Oh, yeah.
Big unit. Love The Rock. Ex-wrestler. Now super movie star. Probably I think he's the highest grossing movie star in the world at the minute.
And mind you, he does a lot of films and he spreads himself pretty thin to do them. But
does a lot of weights.
Yeah. He does a lot of weights. And this is what I want to talk about. He's a big fit unit. His trainer, David Rienzi, who has been training him for years, is married to The Rock's ex-wife.
Oh, the mother of his child. Actually, he's now got two children, so the mother of his
first child.
Yeah.
So the Rock was with a bird, had two kids, was married to her.
They had one kid with her and one kid with the new one.
Oh my God. They broke up.
And now the trainer, The Rock's trainer, is married to... his ex-wife.
I think he bought that personal trainer. So they're obviously pretty close. If you're The Rock, you're in the gym most of your day. He bought him an enormous kick-ass American, like a Ram or a big Ram four-wheel drive ute. For no reason recently.
Well, except have you seen The Rock? He's clearly working. Mm. Like that trainer guy is doing the right stuff.
Yeah,
The Rock could probably lift more stuff by himself than that truck.
Yeah,
so, mate, true. Just give us a hand with the shopping.
But you're saying, so they're obviously, but what I mean, they're probably together for 4 or 5 hours a day, and that guy is with The Rock.
I just want to know, because I know some people are friends with exes. I'm not friends with any exes of mine.
I am. Neither.
Well, yeah, but Greg, Marto's, yours are all dead.
Yeah, they're dead. We heard about this.
Don't worry about
they're dead.
I'm friends with most of my exes, absolutely.
Really?
Yeah.
Insanity.
You're not going to the gym and getting your nutritional and weightlifting advice from them, are you?
No, but I'm in constant contact with one of them who's actually going to come into the studio in a couple of weeks' time because he's been an extra on Game of Thrones.
Oh,
so,
Peter Dinklage.
No. But I'm just saying, I actually think it's really good that you're friends with your ex because you love them once and surely just
because... Why are they your ex then?
Because life got in the way, things happened, you grew up, you grew over, whatever. But it's...
Grew over. It's been a while, hasn't it?
I did say that. That's my fault. Yep.
Can you be friends with your exes? I'm not. Marto's not. They all dead.
Yeah. I am. I am. Shania Twain did that too. Her and her husband, Mutt Lange, married.
That don't impress me much.
No, it doesn't.
But who got together with who there?
Well, they both, their ex, their Mutt's wife married Shania's ex. Like, they swapped.
Jeez, I wish I didn't ask. Let's forget it. Let's, sorry. Let's delete okay, that part that. Of the show. The
Gino.
Shania Twain part's gone.
Gino of Greenbank. What do you reckon? Can you be friends with your ex?
No, I don't think so. Like, it's ex for a reason. You've moved on with your life. So if you're going to live in the past, you're not going to be able to move on 100%. And then if you do get another partner, you're not going to give 100% to that new partner. You're going to be in your ex's pocket and it muddies the waters and you can't move on and have a fulfilled life. So
what if you have kids?
Look, I've got kids to two exes. Let's just say they're not the typical, I wouldn't say typical, but 60-odd% of fathers don't see their kids due to the mothers. And I've lost two kids, one I haven't seen for 14 years, and the other one I've just lost and haven't seen her for about three.
Oh.
And my boy's 21. But look, karma is karma, you know. It's going to bite him in the butt, and I will see my kids again, but you can't be friends with people like that. They'll destroy your life. So you have to. I've got a partner now with an 8-year-old, 9-year-old, and 100% happy because there's no exes in our past and we live our lives together and we move forward. So that's the way I believe it should be.
Good one.
Okay. Thank you, Gino and Jess.
Voodoo doll.
Fern. Yeah, it sounds like it. Yeah. Or the name in the freezer, one of those. Yeah. Jess of Fernie Hills, what do you reckon? Can you be friends with an ex?
I think you absolutely can be. I was married to my ex for 10 years. We were together for 18. Life changes and you move on, but it doesn't mean you have to move on from your friendship. I mean, we were friends first and then got married, obviously. We have two daughters and it makes things a lot better.
You're not in business together or anything?
No, nothing like that. But we go to all the sporting events, all the things together, and my new partner and him get on really well. That's I have a new baby with my current partner, and he comes in and he chats with her and plays with her, and yeah, like we're still really good friends, and our kids have had almost zero impact. So I think it's really important.
Yeah. When you got kids, you've got to stay close. Yeah.
Well, you don't. I mean, Gino didn't, and didn't have any contact.
A lot of people don't.
No, a lot of people don't.
No, 70% of callers saying that you can be friends with your ex, though. You can still stay in touch. You can be, yeah.
I think, as I keep saying to a friend of mine, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? And if you want to be right, then you necessarily can't be friends. Because think about exes. You broke up over something, and probably a lot of things. And if in those moments you have to be right with your ex, then I don't reckon your life's going to be that happy.
Bring that up.
Well, I was right. I was right to break up with them, and now I'm happy that I don't know them.
Yep. You can be both.
And Gino, we're going to send you $200 all thanks to Barista Brothers. A seriously good story needs a seriously good Barista Brothers iced coffee.
Stuff.
It is the wine.
That's brilliant.
That's great. $200 thanks to Barista Brothers. Yeah.
Warning. The following segment contains serious, sexy talk and music from Kenny G.
Between the Sheets with Robin Bailey.
As much as I would love to do this, I am handballing this segment to Nick Cody. Oh,
no. Yeah.
Because
you talk all classy sexual things.
Well,
Robin
I try.
Bailey.
Well, we don't need to normally do sexy on a Monday early either.
No, well Nick's desperate.
The Gold Coast does not stop, all right? The Gold Coast is 24/7. And we go down there today for swingers, keys in the bowl people. Hope Island, that you've all been telling me about in the break. I had no idea
now,
your description.
Hope Island, if anyone doesn't know, you turn left around Oxenford. It's at the northern end of the Gold Coast. It is very, a lot of it's gated and a lot of it's retired, wealthy people
wealthy
playing
people.
Golf all day. And they actually drive around the streets of Hope Island in their golf buggies. Nick, does that help you for your story?
Well, I don't know how all these people are getting in. I understand why one of the residents are upset. There's a bloke's house on Hope Island. He's holding swinger parties. It's $50 to get in per couple.
Oh, not everything's gated. There is public access to some parts, right?
Why would it be $50 to be in a swingers party? What is the $50 buy you?
Lubricants.
No, stop it.
Lubricant, cleaners, food, drinks, condoms. Now, it's $50 per couple, $70 for a single guy to get in.
Hold on, wait. $50 is for couples, yeah.
They don't want single guys, do they?
No, well, that's why they charge $70. Women that turn up by themselves, free. Where's the equality? Come on. It's 2019. Everybody pay your way.
Wait, any age limits? I'm sure there's an under limit. Is there a top limit?
No, it doesn't appear to be.
Like, I turn up, I'm 82 with my ventilator.
I don't.
Am I in? Am I a 70?
With your Centrelink card and seeing if you can split it.
They would take your money. I'm just not sure you'd be overly successful.
All right. I don't know. What
does
happens
anyone know about what happens in a swingers party? I'm desperate to find out.
I do want to hear from swingers. 1-3-3-5-3.
Okay,
if you're still swinging or if you had in the past.
So, they have rooms, I guess, do they? They have the...
Yeah, I guess.
I don't know. I just want to go along because for a bloke by himself, it's $70 and it covers food and drink. I'd easily go through 70 at the pub. I might make it my new local.
Oh, that's damn good.
Wait, so it wouldn't bother you that people are making out in front of you or in the pool or on the lounge?
We're blokes.
What, doesn't that bother you?
Dinner and a show.
No, that's live.
That creeps me out so bad. I would make such an awful swinger.
That attitude would not be encouraged at the swinger. Here's your $50 back.
Are you a swinger?
I am, yes.
No, well, it's not a bad thing. What goes on is what we want to know.
Well, it's not like people think it is in the movies with the fishbowl with the keys and all that sort of thing. It's just like any normal party, yet people are just getting the fun on straight up.
Okay, so if you come as a couple, like you come with your wife and you go into that party, is everyone just free game? So if some bloke came and propositioned your wife, you'd be okay with that?
No, it's not like that. Everyone has different boundaries in a relationship, but, I mean, just like in everyday life, you've got to actually respect people's wishes. Not everyone is for everyone. So if they know, then it's a no.
So there's a bit of chat goes on. It's not just straight into the rumpy pumpy.
Yes, and no, there's the hardcore swingers that'll just be straight up into it.
Yeah.
But then everyone else that might be new to the scene, they'll have a few drinks, get to know people, chit-chat, meet other people, that sort of thing. Depends on what sort of party you go to as well.
Shane, I want to know, they're talking of this party at the place is called Eight Pleasures, right? So 99 people RSVP'd, 99 turned up on Saturday night, but only 77 were let in. How do you get knocked back from a swingers party?
Well,
single guys aren't often... Well, they're not high on the invite list because they're everywhere. It could have been people misrepresenting themselves. They could have been after a certain age group and they misrepresented themselves properly.
So do you go with your partner, Shane?
Partner, playmate, by myself.
Playmate. What's a playmate?
Playmate's the partner that's on the interchange bench. Yeah. You've got to call them in.
Yeah. F buddy. Someone's done a hammy. Some people call it.
Okay.
Or we also go with my girlfriend's husband.
Okay. Oh,
sausage.
It's great. Wow.
I had to unpack that in my mind for a second.
Yeah.
Wow, Shane, what an exciting, interesting life you lead. How often do you go to swingers?
Not that often at the moment, but just purely through time constraints, that's all.
Okay.
All I'm thinking about here, I'm not thinking about all the fun. I'm just thinking of poor Shane's Christmas list. I've got my wife. I've got my girlfriend. I've got my girlfriend's husband. I've got my playmate. I've got my playmate's partner. It's too much.
Great one. Good. Thanks, Shane.
Cheers, Shane.
No problem.
See ya.
Triple M's Big Breakfast with Motto, Robin and Nick Cody.
Thanks to Chemist Warehouse.
Okay, guys. An email has come through to our promotions department and Viv, our head of promotions, has handed it on to me. And I want to read it to you. We've also got Dobbo, our NRL insider, in with us. So you ready?
Yeah.
It says, "Hey team, my name is Wayne and I just want to thank Triple M. I was once a very confident man who feared nothing and mixed with everyone and everything. I had my own business, which won Westpac Small Business Queensland in 2011. In 2015, I was diagnosed with cancer. I had a tumour removed from my left ear and two operations to remove my thyroid gland due to throat cancer. I've never smoked in my life. I don't understand. Due to recovering, my business suffered and I closed it down in late 2016. I went to a very dark place and I haven't fully come back yet. On a positive note, I'm clear of cancer. I lost everything except my house, but suffered financially due to the mortgage. In March 2018, I considered and planned suicide to the point where I put a kit together so I was ready when the time was right. I was listening to the radio whilst working one morning and Robin turned my life around. I live for the Big Breakfast every morning and I hate when you guys go on holidays. Due to financial difficulties, I haven't been out of my house for 2 years other than working for a great company called Centenary Landscaping. Anyway, I'm a fighter. And from being over $20,000 behind on my mortgage a year ago, I've managed to keep my house and only $4,000 in arrears today, which will be cleared in the next few months.
Good on him.
I have told my wife the two people I'd like to meet in this whole world are Mardo and Dobbo, real people who make me laugh. At Nick Cody's comedy show, I had the chance to meet Mardo as he was chatting to a guy at my table.
Was Wayne from this letter was there that night.
But not confident enough to say hi to him.
Oh.
One day, I'll be confident enough to shake hands with Mardo and Dobbo. Well, guys.
What a nice fella.
He's here.
Who?
Oh, get out.
Wayne. There you go.
Hey, brother.
We just brought him into the studio.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, Mardo's giving him a hug. Jump on the microphone, Wayne. Say g'day.
Yeah, thank you.
Why do you want to meet these two?
They come across as just really genuine people and get a lot. Like, I'm intimidated by Mardo. He's just seems so knowledgeable.
He's all right.
Full of crap, mate. That's all I am.
Me too.
Oh, how are you, mate? Christ.
Mate, that's very brave to write a letter and to be honest. So I've got to be saying, there's plenty of people that have a hard time. For you to actually verbalise that and to write that letter, that's the bravest thing, I think. You know, that just blows my mind that you actually are able to write that letter and you're still here, mate. You've turned it around.
Yeah, I have. Like, I'm in a really good place these days. So, and me and my wife have made plans for the future, things that we're going to do over the next few years, a point of not giving up and just finding that positive influence to just keep you moving forward.
Yeah, there's always going to be more moments. You just got to keep focusing ahead. You got rid of that kit?
Oh, yes.
Excellent.
Hey, if I drove up to Centenary Landscapes, what do you do? Where are you there?
Just the truck driver there, one of the
in
delivery
the yard
drivers.
Or delivery drivers?
Yeah, delivery
drivers.
So
a lot
drivers.
Of people that know you?
Yeah.
It's Wayne from Centenary?
Yeah, a lot of nice. Landscapers and so on. Yeah.
Builders?
Yeah.
Nice one, mate.
Well, Wayne, thank you very much.
Is Wayne the only listener who's ever written to us and didn't want Broncos tickets or something? You don't want anything from it?
No.
There was no PS. No PS on the letter.
Oh, mate, that is fabulous. Yeah. So good that you're well.
Yeah.
Is there anything, good. If anyone's, you know how many people are fighting cancer in various different ways and depression, is there any one message you can give to people?
Try and stay as positive as you can and try and keep good people around you.
Yes.
That helps.
One. That one.
Just keep fighting.
Well, you've kept going, Wayne. Well
inspiration,
done.
Wayne.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
You've helped a lot
nice
of people.
Nice to meet you.
Thank you, Wayne. And if you or anyone you know is struggling, you can always call Lifeline 13 11 14. It is The Big Breakfast on Triple M.
Spoiler alert, because this bloke at a Hong Kong cinema has not, obviously, Avengers Endgame, one of the biggest movies of all time. It's raked in $1.2 billion
in a
over
week.
The weekend.
Less than a week. It started on Wednesday globally. It's unbelievable. Now, you're not going to tell anyone because people will just
definitely
hate
not.
Us.
No,
there's
spoilers.
No spoilers.
Have you ever watched any? Does anyone know what it's about?
I actually haven't seen it because I'm a grown man. But there's a lot of people that do seem to love it. Now, the Avengers films, I have seen some. I have not seen this. But there was a man in Hong Kong over the weekend. Okay. He's come out of the cinema in Causeway Bay and there's a lineup of people going in to see the next session of Endgame. And he was loudly telling his friend about what happened in the film, and they've just beaten him up.
Oh, they actually physically hurt him.
They have physically held him down.
Oh, so he wasn't being mean, proclaiming it, listen, I'm going to spoil your next 2 hours of your life. They overheard it.
No, well, he was being quite loud, is the report.
He wasn't
so
purpose.
I think he's doing it on purpose.
Oh, righto.
I had a mate that, his friend back in the day when The Sixth Sense came out. Now, spoiler alert here, people, I will be telling you the end of The Sixth Sense.
I haven't seen it,
just in
it,
case
mate.
You haven't had time in
That's
the last
right.
two decades.
Mardo's never
I haven't
see
seen it.
It.
They
right.
drove past a cinema in Brisbane where there were lines out the block, right? Out the cinema, around the block. They've driven past and my mate hung out the window and yelled, he's dead the whole time. to the
and
line
what,
of
and then
people.
Just drove off.
And then drive off.
What a guy.
What happens next?
Why does someone want to do that? Like, what is
That's
the pleasure
so
in
fun.
Ruining someone's...
It is pretty funny.
Is it?
Because what I get annoyed about is there's a guy, our producer Jack sent me this thing, an NFL player, Buffalo Bills running back, LeSean McCoy, he tweeted out the ending of Endgame, and he's copying all this stuff online.
Right.
Now, what I don't get is you're not seeing their response. Like, I get why my mate hung out the car window. That's funny. you get to see their reaction. Am I wrong?
Well, I think the whole thing's
wrong. Versus tweeting the ending?
Yeah. All right. Well, let's be very careful. Let's not talk about Lego Masters if you're going to say that the old lady and her grandson, they won the golden brick last night.
Let's not do that.
Okay? Mate.
I TiVo'd that. What's wrong with you?
No, you didn't.
Who won MKR?
A long play recorded the whole thing on
Kath
VHS.
Kath will never forgive you if you do that.
We can't say who won MKR because no one seems to know around here.
The Big Breakfast.
They don't know.
Triple
It's the end of the podcast, what do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.